America should be grateful to God for the blessings he's given us.
Don't let anyone tell you that America's best days are behind her.
We have got to fight for this nation because I believe with all my heart this nation is in fact one nation under God.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It's great to be here. We are doing a little bit of a rapid fire Thursday here today. So make sure you cue your call up 610-363-1110. 610-363-1110. So hopefully you will cue your call up. We have lines open. We'll get to your call. We're going to stay with calls for the next 2 hours with the exception of this segment, where we do have our ag report coming up. Our ag report seems to be getting more and more important. I read an interesting article about soybean over the last night. I think I'm just going to put it in my newsletter so you can see it. But soybean purchases from China to our farmers down significantly. I think we all knew that. That's nothing new. But it's a pretty interesting article in what it covers. And it looks like our farmers, our ag sector, are moving their soybean sales very quickly to other parts of the world. And it looks like Singapore may be a big part of that. But Singapore is probably sending it over to China. We don't really care how it gets there. But we want to keep selling it here. So anyway, that's an interesting point. That's something that has been happening. So we'll watch that. Also, you know, make sure you put your question up on Facebook or FISM. You can do that, and we'll get that off to you. A number of people email me about our video stream on the website. Our video stream on our website, if you're watching the program, is working fine. You know that because you're watching it. But our video library is having some issues. That's got nothing to do with us. The issues with YouTube, we think. But we don't know that, so we're working on that. We did have a power outage, and we have been spending the morning, not me, I shouldn't include myself in that, but all of our guys in the control room, our producers, were spending the morning trying to reboot, and, you know, every time we have even a hiccup in our power, we had a big storm come through last night. We lost our power for a little bit at home, and things need to get reset, so maybe there was some glitch there that created that here from the storm, but we don't know. Anyway, you can cue your call up, and we will get to that. Craig Halkett's going to be with us, give us some insights on what is happening. Of course, yesterday we had a great recovery. We'll see if that can stay around for a while in the markets. But in the meantime, I did want to mention to you that the European markets did climb, and that is good news. And I just remind you that, listen, Europe is sitting, they're not headed towards the cliff. They are on the edge of the cliff. The question is, are they going to go over, or are they going to start coming back a little bit? I think that Germany, based on the numbers that I've seen and what I've been watching, even though they're not saying it and their numbers look better, I think they're already just about there. I wouldn't be surprised if this quarter that we're in right now, they will have negative GDP growth beginning to start that recession. So a recession from a technical term, from a standpoint of what makes a recession, it is two back-to-back negative GDP quarters. So two negative back-to-back quarters is considered a recession. A recovery from a recession, from a technical perspective, is then two positive GDP quarters. So technically, you could go into recession and get out of recession in the same year, technically. You know, you could send quarters one and two could be negative, quarters three and four could be positive, and you went in and out. But I will tell you, if we didn't learn anything from 2008, 2009, is that being out of a recession has nothing to do with being out of a recession. And what we saw in 2009, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, to a little bit, was a recession that we were still in, as far as I'm concerned. We had no real change in anything. Yes, from a technical perspective, we were out of it based on what I just laid out. But I think we were a far cry from out of a recession. And Germany, a lot of Eurozone probably headed into that. The question is going to be, will we follow suit? Will we follow into it? I guess logically, I would say yes. But anyway, we'll see how that goes. We've got a lot of things shaping up here in our own economy and a lot of things that we've got to be working on. Hedge fund manager and one-time part of the administration, Anthony Scaramucci. I heard him this morning. He's somebody that I like. I've liked him for a long time. I watch him. I follow him. He makes a lot of sense. He's very practical, and I like pragmatic people. But he said what I said. He said this morning what I've been saying for the last 13 months. And it was great hearing some confirmation coming from him. We got to start pivoting to other places around the world on our trade, and hopefully we'll do that. All right, here comes Craig Haugert with our Ag Report. Right after Craig, we'll be right back. We're going to go to phones. Stay with phones. Cue your call.
This is Craig Haugert with your Financial Issues Ag Update. Corn experienced a somewhat quiet day of trading yesterday, so the market felt pressure early due to the macro sell-off, but later gained a little support due to the lack of rain in the extended forecast. Basis in the eastern corn belt was steady to slightly firmer in the rail markets. It feels like maybe the eastern market shouldn't feel any more near-term basis pressure until we see some rain in the forecast. Now, the trade estimates as we head into Monday's USDA report are that they're going to give us an 87.9 million planted acres number, which would be down 3.7 million from July. They're also projecting national average yield of 164.9 bushels per acre. Now, there's a huge range of estimates, so there's a possibility that we could see some real fireworks in either direction on Monday's report. As I record this, the overnight spot corn futures are trading 3 cents higher. Beans managed to close a penny higher yesterday after trading within about a 7.5 cent range for November. For Monday's report, the USDA is going to use satellite analysis along with farmer surveys to estimate acreage and yields versus field analysis, which they've used in the past. So it just throws another twist into a year that's already filled with uncertainty. The recent trade news between U.S. and China has Brazilian values firming, while here in the U.S., Gulf bids are steady to weaker. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading up a nickel. Wheat was supported by the rally in the corn market yesterday. It's interesting to note that as wheat prices have dropped, it's become more closely impacted by the corn market as it becomes a potential replacement for corn and feed rations. The past couple of years, we've seen less than 100 million bushels of wheat fed each year here in the U.S., but back in 2013, we fed 366 million bushels, so it could be possible to get back closer to that usage level. I don't think we're going to see quite that much wheat fed, but we should see stronger demand than what we've experienced the last couple of years, and that could help support wheat prices. In the overnight trade, Chicago is up a nickel, Kansas City is 3 cents higher, and Minneapolis is trading unchanged. Cotton futures traded in a narrow range, but were able to post a higher close, with December futures up 11 points to settle at 58.83, and the overnight trade spot futures are trading up an additional 12 points as I record this. Livestock futures were mixed, with October live cattle futures up 22.5 cents, while September feeder cattle were down 7.5 cents for the day. Lean hog futures had a stronger day, with the October futures up $2.25 for the session. Class 3 milk futures were a bit lower, with September futures down 10 points as they settled at 17.80, and the overnight trade spot futures are trading an additional point lower. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were 71 cents higher to settle at $216.49, while selects were up 6 cents for the day as they closed at $192.71. In hogs, the pork carcass values finished 33 cents lower as they settled out at $88.40 per hundredweight for the day. This has been Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. We'll be right back with more financial issues after this.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. Great to be here. We are going to get to phones. We're doing a rapid fire Thursday kind of thing. I'm not going to be here tomorrow, but we do tomorrow start our series. We have two series, first hour, second hour, whereby we are going to be talking about second hour, the difference between socialism and capitalism. I could spend, I do one segment on that. I could probably spend literally 2 hours in each one of these topics if I really wanted to get down into the detail. Because the best way really to understand it, which I didn't do because I didn't want to spend that kind of time on that, but what I didn't do, the best way to really understand it is to look at examples and look at past history. And socialism is a very funny thing because it is amazing to me as we look at it that it has never been successful. And I don't mean it's never been successful in that it hasn't started and lasted a very long time. That's not what I mean. And there are some socialist countries that have not yet, and I emphasize that word yet, have not yet gone to dictatorships. Generally, a dictatorship comes out of socialism. And that would be because some of the better performing socialist countries are in some of the more wealthier countries. So anyway, but we give a lot of examples because it's through past history that we can gain the most as we think about whether something is good or bad. Now, I pointed out in one of the segments that it's interesting to me that we would dare not invest in a stock that when we looked at it, it was down in history for the last 3 weeks, for the last 3 months, for the last 6 months, for the last 1 year, for the last year to date, for the last 2 years, for the last 3 years, the last 5 years, the last 10 years, the last 15 years. And when we look at it since inception, it's never made any money. Why would we invest in that? Would we really put money into that company thinking once I put my money in, it's just going to take off like a rocket? I'm going to make a lot of money, really. So we look at past history because it's all we got, right? So, you know, you've all seen somewhere, if you invest, that past results are not necessarily an indication of future results, right? We see that all the time. I mean, but it's all we have, so we look at it. We look at the past. It's what we do. Yet when we look at social things, we don't look at the past. We don't look at what's worked for 200 years. We don't look at what's worked for 300 years. We don't look at what's failed over and over and over and over again when it comes to something that is remotely related to social things. It's pathetic. Nobody wants to look back at history and say, this was the greatest country 200 years ago. And they never look at, yeah, it was built upon God. It was built upon the cornerstone and the fundamentals of Judeo-Christian values. Nobody looks at that. They wouldn't dare do that. Why? Because it's not politically correct today to look at the even remote possibility that faith in God and guidance from God would have had anything to do with it. It's amazing, isn't it? So we don't even look at that. So I go back to how can you learn? I have said to my wife about so many people, I don't know if that person, am I going to sneeze again? I think I am. I don't know if that person can know anything because I've never seen them in a position of listening. They don't listen. Can't learn anything if you don't listen. I told my kids that growing up. You got to listen. If you don't listen, you don't learn. You can't always be thinking about the next thing you're going to say. You're never going to learn anything. If a young children would understand that, if they would understand, you know what? They'll have something worthwhile to say if they listen and even in their little minds will, you know, mull it around a little bit. All right, anyway, I'm way down a rabbit trail, but that's what I do. All right, we're going to go to phones. We're going to stay with phones. It is rapid fire. Let me go to Joe. Joe's calling us from Texas. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Dan.
Good morning.
Good morning. How's it going?
Good.
I want to ask you, I'm 44 years old right now, and I have no money saved for retirement. My job doesn't offer any type of 401k or any type of retirement plan. And I have about $1,000 per month that I could invest. But the only problem is right now I'm about $25,000 worth of debt, including credit cards and a car payment. And okay. Some say you shouldn't invest if you got debt and this and that. What do you think about it? Can you help me out?
Well, sometimes, Joe, we're always going to have a little bit of debt. But I would say this to you only because I'm going to tell you why it makes so much sense. So $1,000 a month, so theoretically in 25 months, you could pay your debt off. Now, I would not tell anybody, and this I differ, I know, from a lot of people, but I wouldn't tell anybody to pay their car loan off, you know, as debt. I mean, you know, I would just let that go, pay it, you know, month after month. What I would say to you is the best thing you can do is when you do get it paid off, that you keep that car for, you know, as long as you possibly can. Because without a loan, that's going to help you. But I'd probably set that aside. So whatever debt you have, it makes sense to pay it off because that's going to free up more discretionary income for you to invest and to save. Now, so being that you're 44, you still have, I'll just say 20 more years of work left, maybe longer, before you're going to need it. So you do have some time. But I would want you to do this. I would want you, Joe, to go to a Fidelity, a TD Ameritrade, E-Trade, one of those. You can do it online. And
I'm looking at Vanguard. You think Vanguard is good?
Vanguard is fine. You can go to but I would want you to go to Vanguard Brokerage. Their brokerage side, that would allow you some point in time, maybe not right away, to also buy stocks, individual stocks. That would allow you to do that. So, but anyway, you go there, you open up a Roth IRA account, Now, because you're 44, you can only put $6,000 a year in that. That's all you're allowed to put to max it out. Now, when you're 50, it goes up to $7,000, but you can only put $6,000 a year in it. If you opened up that Roth account and you put $500 a month in that, you'll be maxing it out every year. And I would tell you to pick something like an ETF. I would suggest, and I'm just going to give you letters because they will know what this is, or if you start to do this and have it automatically come out of your checking account. And the letters are TP, L as in Larry, C. T as in Thomas, P as in Paul, L as in Larry, C as in Charlie. TPLC. That's the symbol of an ETF. It's like a mutual fund, a little bit better than a mutual fund in some respects. And just put $500 a month in that. Put the other $500 a month to your debt. Get that debt paid off as quick as you can. But, you know, so work on both of them at the same time at this point. And I think, and obviously at some point in time, your debt is going to get paid off. When that debt gets paid off, I would continue for at least 6 months to put another $500, keep putting that $500 only now towards your savings account, not your investment. That's different. Your savings account. Because it's your savings account, Joe, that is going to keep you out of debt. Because if your transmission blows in your car, you can go to your savings account and you can use that money to fix your transmission as opposed to using a credit card. And so it's important that you have a good savings account. And then you can start switching that $500, take it to $250 in your savings account or $200, and then use that to go into your investment account as well. But that's where I'd want you to start. It's far from being too late to start. And I think you'll be fine someday when you retire.
Okay, can I know it's rapid fire, but can I have a follow-up question on that?
Sure.
That TPLC, that's Timothy Plan Large Cap, do you think that's diversified enough, or should I, like, split that up between that and something else like a S&P or a BTI or something like that?
No, I think that's diversified enough and similar to, like, the S&P. And it's going to be biblically responsible. It's got some great companies in it, great stocks in it. Obviously, an ETF and a mutual fund are the same mentality in the sense that they are creating diversification within that. And I do believe that now I'm not saying 3 years from now, if you do this, you're not going to want to diversify even further, and I would diversify further into individual stocks as opposed to any one of any other mutual fund or ETF. And I think that would make more sense. But I would allow that to build up first before you do that.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Dan.
All right, Joe. I'm glad you called. Great stuff. Thank you. Folks, we're up against the break, but since we're talking about this and why I'm thinking about it, one of the greatest pieces of diversification that you can do for yourself and with your money, one of the greatest investments that you can make for yourself and with your money and for the kingdom is preborn.org. There isn't a better investment. I mean, you have an opportunity, folks, to literally, physically, and be able to see saving the life of a baby. Even if it's $23 or $24, that's going to sponsor and pay to one of the centers an ultrasound procedure for a young lady that is trying to decide whether to have an abortion or not. And more than 80% of the time that young lady is going to see that ultrasound that you sponsored, that ultrasound, and choose life. More than 80% of the time. I would ask you to go to dial up the number #250. They're going to ask you the keyword. It's baby, #250. Would you sponsor one, or for $140, five ultrasounds? It'll be the best investment you ever made. Welcome back, Financial Issues. All right, we're going to get to phones. We're doing a little bit of a rapid fire here. Today, Rapid Fire Thursday, since I'm going to be out tomorrow. So we're going to get right back to phones. Let me go to Leanne. Leanne's calling us from Arkansas. Hi, Leanne.
Yeah, hi there. I wanted to know, how do you find out if a bank is biblically responsible? Is that if it's publicly traded or something like that?
Well, if it's publicly traded, it's real easy. And what I mean by that is you can go to the website, just financialissues.org. If you scroll down a little bit, you'll see a thing that looks like a wheel with spokes. And you click on that and you just put the symbol in there, the stock symbol, say it's Bank of America. So you would just put BA in there, BAC in there, and it would come up with a smiley face if it's biblically responsible. In Bank of America's case, it won't come up with a smiley face, or it'll come up and say that it's not biblically responsible. So that's one way of doing it. So it's a little bit easier if it's publicly traded. The hard part is there's some great community banks out there that are biblically responsible, but unfortunately, because it's a community bank, because it's a private bank, you know, it's a little bit harder to get the access to all the things. If you are a depositor in that bank and you ask them for their quarterly financial statements, maybe they'll give it to you, probably not, but they might. Certainly, you can ask the question, do you know if your bank supports Planned Parenthood, or do they support the LGBT? Do they use their money to support, gambling in some way, whatever? I mean, you can ask those questions, but you're probably not, because the people are going to intentionally mislead you, but because chances are whoever you ask is going to know the answer, and they might just say what they think, you know. So it's really hard, and that is a concern. So all you can do is try to go to the financial institutions that you know are. That's why I talk about Christian Community Credit Union. You know, I worked 7 years to have a banking platform that would come alongside us. 7 years. That's how long it took me, just to give you an idea of how hard it is. And Christian Community Credit Union, they're a little beyond just being biblically responsible. They're built upon the Bible. Everybody there are, you know, that works there are believers. And they're built on a biblical worldview, and they have been for 60 years. So even a better situation. But that's one thing you can do. And thousands and thousands of partners and people with financial issues have done that across the country. And they're a great organization to grow a rapport with. If you ever need a mortgage or a car loan or anything, they're great to work with. So that's one thing you can do. But other than that, it's hard.
Okay, so if you want to get a credit card, which I called them about that, but I had to be a member, and then I had to pay money, and I didn't want to pay money just to get a credit card.
Yeah, so all credit cards, you have to be, all credit unions, you have to be a member. That's what allows them to be a credit union. They're made up of members. So that's the case all the time. Would have to go, you're just going to have to try to find a organization or a publicly traded bank that you can, again, put the symbol in to the website and find out.
Okay. And my question to the call screener was, if you are getting a CD and the interest is so low right now, is that the safest place to keep your money in a CD as opposed to a bank, even though you're hardly making anything? Because I have to do a low risk.
Well, if you're looking for safety, it's really the only thing you can do. So you go to a bank. You do a money market account, or you do some sort of savings account that they might have, or you do a CD that they might have. For your money not to be volatile at all and not to be exposed to the market risk, that's really the only thing you can do.
Okay.
You can have return, high interest return, and safety. They don't go together, unfortunately. Not today, anyway. They used to years ago, but not anymore. So
they said about a CD was that they might trade it, and they mentioned Bank of America, and I knew B of A wasn't biblically responsible, so right off the bat, that was a red flag.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they mean by trade it, other than sell it to another bank like they would do a mortgage. Okay. Everybody does that, Leanne, with the exception of Christian Community Credit Union. They even hold their own loans, but they, or other credit unions, but that is, they all, you know, they're all going to stand at risk. That doesn't make it any more risky, but it does make it less control. You know, now some of the small community banks might not do that. They might in fact hold the CD themselves. They're more likely to do it. So I would continue to check the small community banks in your area.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Leanne.
Thank you.
All right. I appreciate it. Yep. Let me go to Frank in Georgia. Hey, Frank. Okay. Frank, you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. Yep.
Recently, I signed up with an IRA with my bank.
Uh-huh.
And, I don't have a whole lot of experience with the whole IRA stuff. But anyways, my question being, Dan, they They turned everything over to Charles Schwab. They notified me, email, so on and so forth. Now, that being said, I was just curious, Charles Schwab, is that going to be a biblically sound investment now? You know.
Well, it's okay that they turned it over to Charles Schwab in the sense that that's who's holding the money. It's what the money is invested in. So at the most biblically responsible company in the world, you could still have an investment in something that is supporting abortion or gambling or whatever. So you can still have that. So what matters, Frank, and I know this is kind of new to you, but what matters is how your money is invested. So give you an example. If your money was in a CD at the bank and they moved their CD holdings, this is very unlikely to happen, but they moved their CD holdings to Charles Schwab, then it would still be biblically responsible because basically your money is invested in short-term U.S. Treasury notes or bills. So that's fine. If you were in a unbiblically responsible mutual fund at the bank and now that money is in the same mutual fund at Charles Schwab, it's still not biblically responsible. I don't know if that makes sense. So it's where it's invested. Now, the beauty of it being moved to Charles Schwab and the advantage to you in that is that you should have the availability now that you're with Charles Schwab to put that money anywhere you want. You're going to have that availability. So now you couldn't do that at the bank, but you can do it now. And you could call Charles Schwab and say, hey, look, I want my money put in this ETF at Timothy. I'm just giving an example. Or I want my money put in to a Timothy mutual fund. Or I want it put into this individual stocks. So you have the advantage now that you can do that. So that's the upside. And I would suggest that you do that.
All right. So I've got quite a bit of... gonna have to check on this a whole lot further than see what
Is
going on with it.
Yeah, check it out and see what the deal is and how they have it set up. I mean, it might be in an assurance annuity and you won't have any options. But that's not too likely being a Charles Schwab.
I don't think that's what it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I sure appreciate your time and your service, Dan. God bless you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Frank. I appreciate the call.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. God bless. Thank you. Let me go to Patty. Patty in Ohio. Hey, Patty.
This is Jeff.
Oh, okay. We'll go to Jeff from Mississippi. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, I got a question about 401k and Roth. On my 401k, one of the options they have is a basic Roth is what they call it. So I assume anything that I put in is after taxes. And whenever I retire, when I pull that money out, it is tax-free, correct?
You got it.
Okay. If you do that, can you still do an individual Roth IRA separate net, or does that count against?
Well, no, that is your Roth IRA. They might not say it. I don't know what is meant by a regular Roth, but it is, I would suspect that it is a Roth IRA account.
Yes, but I mean, I'm like, if I wanted to go set it, of course, that's in my 401k.
No, you can. Oh, if that's part of a 401k and you're not maxing it out there, then yes, you can have another Roth IRA as an individual.
Okay. And then if, of course, I'm the only one that has a job. I'm married and she's a homemaker, but I can do one for her as well.
Correct. You can do a spousal Roth IRA account.
Okay, so in essence, I can actually have three accounts.
Correct.
We can have three accounts. Okay, thank you, Dan. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it, Jeff. Folks, we'll be right back. We got lines open. We're trying to do a rapid fire. I know we haven't been very rapid firing. That last one was. But we're rapid firing. Cue your call up. 610-363-1110. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
All right, welcome back, Financial Issues. Hey, we got another hour and 10 minutes. We're doing rapid fire. Let's see how many calls we can take in the next hour and 10 minutes. 610-363-1110. That's the phone line. Let me go to Patty. Patty's calling us from Ohio. Hey, Patty.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
I want to make a little comment here for your new listeners to please listen to your program, stick by it. I've been a partner for about 4 or 5 years now, and I was so
overwhelmed
when I
overwhelmed.
Yes, when I first started, but I kept listening and I keep doing, and little by little, and it's amazing at how much you learn. I listen every day as much as I can, and every day it seems like I learn something, and I learn something by the questions other people ask. So there's never a wrong question. And I kind of play this little game with myself to see if I answer them close to how you would answer them, you know. So it's kind of fun that way. That's how I know that I'm learning. If I can give the same answer as you, I'm learning. It's a learning process. But to stick in there, and it's wonderful. And the little bit of money that you put out for your membership, it's so well worth it. And you get such a peace of mind knowing that your money is not in things that would grieve God's heart. Mm.
It is great. Patty, I thank you for that, because it is encouraging to other people to hear that coming from somebody that's been through it. It's one thing for me to say it, far more encouraging for them to hear you say it. And I appreciate it. We're really having a rough summer this summer. I'm not worried. I know God's got this. But it is just, we always have, every ministry has a rough summers, but ours a little bit rougher than usual for some reason. But hopefully it'll start picking up here when we get, next month. But I appreciate you saying that, because it is so encouraging to other people to hear people that have been through it. And you do learn. It is amazing how you learn if you pay attention and listen, and just little by little, like you say. So thank you for that, Patty.
Okay. I do have a quick question, and it's on behalf of my daughter. She asked me this question the other day, and I told her I wanted to get another opinion, and she probably knew whose opinion I was going to ask. She said that a while back she applied for a no-interest bank transfer credit card, and she only transferred enough money that she knew that she was going to pay off on her mortgage. Mm-hmm. And she had it, applied to her mortgage, and she accomplished that. And she's thinking about doing it again so that hopefully it can get her mortgage paid off quicker. Yeah. And I just kind of wondered, I don't know how I feel about that. Well, I kind of do, but
here's why they do it, number one. And if she reads the fine print, in very, very fine print, barely able to read it, if she reads the fine print, she'll see why they do it. Why they do it is they are hoping that the majority of the people, which is true, won't do what she did. That at some point in time, one time, they will be one day late with a payment or, later. That's what they're hoping for. Because soon as that happens, all that is out the door and you get clobbered with very high interest. And, it starts what they were hoping to happen. So she has been fortunate that she is one of those people that obviously very diligent and has made every, payment on time and has done that. So the danger is don't ever slip, You know, don't ever get and they're banking on that. And so there is a sense of legitimacy to that, yes. You're not getting into the kind of debt that you would get into. You're not paying an exorbitant amount of interest, and it ends up becoming somewhat of a holding company. So I use credit card. I travel a lot, obviously. I got to use a credit card. I haven't carried cash in years. And I pay my credit card off at the end of the month totally. So there's no interest. So I'm not paying any interest, but it is a convenient thing, and it has a place. And I believe it's safer than carrying around cash. And more importantly to me, it helps me track everything and keep things itemized so that I kind of know what's going on. So I don't really have a problem with it, but I'm always nervous. I would never encourage people to do it because I'd be nervous that the person I'm encouraging is the person that 2 days later is going to get sick and miss their making their payment and are going to all of a sudden have 16% interest or worse yet, 25% interest on their credit card debt.
Yeah. Well, I do think that she would follow through with everything. She actually did this when she was going for her master's degree, and that's how she paid her master's.
Great, good for her. Yeah, good for her.
So when she brought this up, she said she had done it once, and she was thinking about doing it again, and I don't know why she even asked, because she could obviously have done it, and I wouldn't have even known, but she wanted to know what I thought about that.
Well, I would if she were calling in, I would say this to her. If you do that and you are making the scheduled payments and there's no interest, why not make those scheduled payments directly to the mortgage company, you know, noting that they're for principal only, and you're going to accomplish the exact same thing. And yes, it may take you a little bit longer to get there, not a whole lot longer, but it's going to accomplish the same thing, and you have flexibility by doing that. You have the flexibility of, I can't do that this month, and or I can't do it right now, and it doesn't matter. It's not going to hurt anything. It's not going to change anything. So far better to do that, little by little. Just make sure, and I can remember many, many years ago doing this myself, of writing two checks, and I know the mortgage company hated it, but I would always write two checks. One would be for my mortgage payment, and the other would be just for principal. Instead of including it in one check and making a note of it that 800 hours of this is for principal only, I never wanted to risk the confusion because I know I never get it reversed. So I always did a separate check. And I would tell her to do the same thing because it's accomplishing the same thing.
Okay.
With more flexibility.
Yeah. That's basically how I felt about it. But, like I said, she was so diligent before and did it. And if that was something she was set on doing, I wouldn't be against it, you know.
And I wouldn't. If she said to me, I agree with you, Dan, that is the same thing, but I'm kind of set. I'd rather do this, get more money to it faster or whatever, you know, for whatever reason, and I know I'm going to be diligent. I would say, don't do that. You're going to be it's not a big deal. You know, it inevitably accomplishes the same thing, but I think it's better from a credit standpoint to not have the other line of credit and just do it this way. Directly to the mortgage company.
Okay. Well, that answers that question.
Okay.
Thank you for your time. God bless you and your team, and have a great day.
And thank you for your encouragement, Patty. Sure do appreciate it. God bless. Folks, we're coming up at the end of this hour, but look, we got a line open right now, 610-363. 1110, 610, 363, 1110. You queue your call. If you, maybe you don't hear the show for the third hour, but we're still taking your phone calls. You don't have to have it on to call in. So maybe you're not able to hear it, or maybe you like listening to yourself on the radio. I mean, I don't know what the deal. It's still going to be recorded. You're still going to be able to go to the podcast or the recording and go back and hear that. So you'll still be able to do the same things. You just, your station, wherever you listen to it, is just not airing the third hour yet. But so still cue your call up, 610-363-1110. Also, social media, Facebook, FISM viewers, put your questions up. We will get to those. I promise you, when we get back, we'll start hitting those. I see George saying good morning and hoping that we have a good trip. It's going to be very much a working trip, but here's the thing. I'm counting on getting more sleep, and I'm excited about that. And I'm just assuming that it's our friend George from North Carolina. It doesn't say that, so I'm just assuming that. So thank you, George. I appreciate you. Your faithfulness, your incredible faithfulness to this ministry. So I thank you, George, for that. And Al saying, just a commenting, thank you, Dan, you're the best. God bless you always. Thank you, Al, I appreciate that as well, writing that on Facebook. All right, folks, we're going to be right back after this break. If you got to leave us, have a wonderful day. We sure do appreciate you. We appreciate your support. We have the greatest listeners in all of talk radio. I believe that with all my heart because I get to meet so many of you when we do our town halls and such. So thank you, and I hope you'll stay with us if you can. More financial issues right after this.
Jesus said, go sell all that you have, give it to the poor, take up the cross, follow me. It's not your money I want your heart.
Thank you for joining us. This